Miss Farnborough, Reel 1.
It's very many of them. Is it on now?
Yes.
Good. I would like to tell you right from the beginning. It might be a little dull for you, but at least it will make a good background. First of all, I will tell you that I belong to the County of Buckinghamshire. In fact, not only do I belong because my father's family has belonged there for many centuries. It's quite an old Buckinghamshire family. And although only my youth was passed in Buckinghamshire, I still feel that I belong to the county. We were quite a big family, 6 children, a bachelor brother of my mother's lived with us. Always when we were very young, until we were teenagers, we had a governess. And so that means that there were always 4 grown-ups in the house and 6 children. Little by little, as time went by, my eldest sister and my elder brother were sent to boarding schools. And then, of course, the family decreased. But still, the little ones, I was the eldest of the 3 little ones, too young to go with the 3 big ones, and really too old to be with the 2 little ones. And I think probably that has made me feel that I wanted to live a life of my own and be independent, because I knew perfectly well when I was old enough, I had decided long, long before anyone else knew it, that I was going to be a traveller. I had read books on travel, and I had seen many beautiful pictures of travellers and different parts of the world, which completely fascinated me. But I knew that the school years would have to be gone through first. But they went very quickly, because always like a tremendous objective in front of me was the fact that there one day the wide world would be open and to receive me, and I would go steaming away now in the trains somewhere far beyond our villages. Finally, when I did go, I was not disappointed. I went when I was just 19. By the way, I had to put 2 years on to my age, because the people to whom I was going, they really wanted someone who was over 20. And I thought 21 would be a very suitable age for them, and they agreed. They saw some photographs of mine and thought, oh, that would be quite okay. So off I went, and I went into Austria, into East Galicia, among the Carpathian Mountains. And I shall always remember a tremendous feeling of wonderment, a tremendous thrill when I first saw my mountains. Now, Buckinghamshire is an agricultural county, and mostly it is of low ground. So mountains, too, for me, were something which belonged not to my life in England, but to the wide open world which I had determined to visit. When we got to the Carpathians, I was simply awestruck. I gazed around me at those gigantic mountains, and my first longing was to climb and see where it ended and what was behind those enormous peaks. We did a lot of climbing, my friends and I, but though we were never really good mountaineers, long before I was at the top of any high mountain, I was puffing and panting and knew perfectly well that I could never, never really be a mountaineer. So what we did was to take horses, and we used to ride on the Carpathians, and that I loved more than anything. I had ridden a little at home with Heather, a little Shetland pony, when we were children. But Daisy, the Shetland pony, had grown so stout and so round that we really couldn't ride it properly. and our little legs stuck out on either side, and it was not at all comfortable, either for us or for the pony. So when I came to ride a really real horse, I was more than glad, and I've always loved riding. We used to go together, a company of half a dozen or more, into the mountains. And there we would go along the almost untrodden treks, bending down to escape the low branches of the trees. It was a wonderful feeling. And then if we came to a valley, we would trot round, or we would get down, let our horses rest a while, then ride again. And once or twice we were overtaken by dusk. How we found our way home, it would be difficult to say. I wouldn't say we, I would say our ponies found. Because we knew perfectly well, if we gave the rein to them, they, those wise, noble creatures, would go their own way, and somehow, inexplicably, they would find their way home. And indeed they did. Many a time in the thick of a forest in the Carpathian Mountains, I have given my horse its own rein, and it would go, and slowly but surely we would come into familiar tracks and find our way home quite happily, quite safely.
But what was your job in Austria?
I was teaching a small boy of 7, Bubi von Kaufmann, and companion to a girl of 15, also the sister. They were very, very nice people. The father was a big mining engineer, and they were on the oil fields of Solotwina, Paremsha, and Bitkuf. Very often, our nearest town was Stanislaw, and very often in winter we would have invitations to go and visit the various balls that were taking place. They called them balls in those days, military balls. Sometimes we went, they were carnivals, and sometimes we went dressed up. It was very interesting. I remember once I went dressed up as a paper lampshade. It sounds rather dreadful. It was dreadful in the long run when all the paper got shattered and torn, but it was rather interesting to begin with. I got yards and yards of crinkly coloured paper, and I sewed them onto a background of material. And they just stood round me, almost as though like a crinoline. It was very attractive at first, I felt. Come in.
How long were you in Austria?
I was in Austria for 2 years. And then, returning to England, I passed through Vienna. And there I met some very, very charming friends. And though it may seem strange, I arrived in England in the sure knowledge that my next journey would be to Russia. Because on the way through Vienna, I had met a Russian family. And they told me, Miss Fornroy, would you like to come to Russia? And I answered, more than anywhere else in the world, I would love to go to Russia. And indeed, within 2 months after I had been at home, I packed my bags and went off to Russia.
Why was it that you particularly wanted to go to Russia?
Because I had seen many books about Russia, and I had seen many books referring to Russia and with beautiful pictures of Russian costumes, especially the old imperial court costumes. And they seemed to me almost like fairy costumes, so beautiful they were, and so richly embroidered with the precious stones. I too had wanted to go because I had read a book about Siberia and the Siberian settlers, and I had a picture of one where one saw the little cottage that had been built by the themselves. They had felled the trees, they had made the boards, they had built their cottage, and there it was in the heart of a great forest. Scarcely anything else was visible except the little hut and the little light in the window. But in the distance one could see a great brown lumbering bear, and that for me made the picture. I thought, here is life with all its dangers, with all its peacefulness, with all its happiness, the home and the children and the parents, and there the forest with all its berries and fruits and lovely, lovely little woodland creatures. So I thought, Siberia one of these days I too will go to. But first of all I went to Kiev, and I had 2 whole years in that wonderful city of Little Russia.
How did you go about finding a position in Russia?
I found these friends before I went, when I was travelling through Vienna. And they asked me, would you like to come? And then they told me, if you would like to come to us and teach our young sons, one was just beginning to be a teenager, the other one was about 8, teach them English. We will be very glad if you will come and live with us. Of course, I spoke about it with my parents. I wouldn't have gone without their permission. And they permitted me on one condition, and that was every summer I had to go home to my parents. Of course, I willingly agreed, because I knew that I appreciated and loved home more than ever before, because I had been absent from it for 2 whole years. And so it was agreed, and so I went to Russia, straight away into Kiev, the old Ukrainian capital. I need hardly tell you that there everything was like fairyland for me. The marvellous cathedrals and churches, the beautiful old Lavra, which stands outside the city, and which has catacombs of untold age, in which many hundreds of great saints are buried. And there was the Dnieper, that wonderful river that ran through Kiev, and which in winter was icebound, and which, like no other river in the whole of Russia, had a very special ceremony on the 6th of January, the Epiphany. For on that day, the blessing of the waters took place. And that is some wonderful church ceremony that I shall never, never again see, because now I think it is never repeated. But on that day, all the priests and all the great ecclesiastical men went there, and they blessed the waters, and the ice was broken, and many people there would immerse themselves in the cold, icy waters just because they hoped thereby to receive a blessing. And the broken ice was often taken away by soldiers and other citizens, and they would bring receptacles, pens and bottles, and fill them with the water that had just been blessed. And those they would take home, and there they would be cared for and treasured. If people were ill, they would be sprinkled with the water, and that water would remain with them for a whole year until the second ceremony of the blessing of the waters on the following 6th of January.
Did you go down to the river as well?
Yes, I went down to the river, and I would touch the water with my hands. I didn't take any of the water because so many people were there. There were crowds there, and it was the most impressive ceremony. I took photographs of that too. I am grieved to think that old ceremony will never be repeated. And it was there that Prince Cyril, in the ancient days, first brought Christianity to Russia. And from Russia,